Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along.
And we're about to start here, Seth and Sean Sports Radio. Seth Kamen, Sean Palmer here. You know, it's becoming fall in New York and New Jersey. This morning, the sun didn't come out till about 7 o'clock. Daylight savings time is about to end. The chill is in the air. And with that comes the Jewish holidays. So excuse us if last week we were celebrating the Jewish New Year. And the reasoning for the change in date today, from Tuesday to Monday, is tomorrow is the day that we start repenting. And we all know that I have a lot to repent for. So here we are, one day early, with I can say I'm sorry to everybody for one more day, because that means that during this week, I am forgiven. And tomorrow, and then at the end of Wednesday, I am fully with a new slate. So Seth, for any of the sins that I have committed before thee or to thee, on this program or otherwise, I apologize.
As you should. I offer no apologies to you because I have nothing to apologize for. Welcome to the big show, everybody. Seth and Sean Sports Radio, otherwise known as the period of New York City football mediocrity. Yeah, not great. We'll get to that later. In the show. We're also, this is my first show living in New Jersey after 20 years, I guess actually longer than that, 22 years, in Hoboken. Although I am from my office in Livingston today, and it's different. It's quiet. I don't know what to
do. Well, you don't have a screaming baby, you don't have a dog, and you don't have a wife. So enjoy.
Well, yeah, but if I say that, don't I have to then repent and that gets rid of me being perfect?
Well, perfection is perfection is, my friend. The
it
fact
be
of the matter is, you know, we're getting to the chilly season in the year. And that means a couple of things. Number one, hockey is starting this week on Thursday, but we are postponing our hockey preview to next Monday. And this is the time of year of all the previews, right? Because when we get into this time, we have the NHL, we have college basketball, we have the NBA. So we're going to go bam, 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 three previews in a row starting next week. We're going to do NHL next week. The following week, we'll do the NBA, followed by the NCAA, and in which Seth will make his final four predictions, which will ultimately be wrong.
Yeah,
and he will have
completely
to repent.
I'll just cry in the corner like I usually do.
Yes, that will happen. But this week what's that?
Please. No, please, all you.
Well, this week we have the return of postseason baseball. Which, if you're a Toronto fan and you're looking forward to the winter, this is what you should be looking forward to. Forget the Maple Leafs, not really going to be all that relevant this year. Okay, the Raptors, yeah, you have a good team, a nice young team. You re-signed DeMar DeRozan for something about $130 million, which is about, I don't know, $40 million more than he's worth. But we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. But, wow, you have Edward Encarnacion, for some reason, just likes to do walk-offs. You have Russell Martin, and you have one of the most unusual walk-off plays last night, which was a botched double play where Josh Donaldson once again proves himself worthy of MVP or most valuable player in, at least for the Blue Jays, maybe for the league again for the second straight year, where he turns third, decides not to stop on the botched double play, and comes all the way home for the game winner. And they went nuts in Toronto, knocking off the one seed, being the Texas Rangers, And the Rangers just can't get out of the first round.
Well, as opposed to the Ron Washington days where they would make the World Series and then lose because Nelson Cruz didn't know how to field a basic fly ball. The Donaldson play was amazing last night for those of you. Not too many of you, I think, probably watched it live between the debate and the Giants game. I did because I couldn't handle the bait and I couldn't stomach watching the Giants. So to watch Donaldson come around from second on a botched double play was pretty amazing. What was also interesting was watching you know who the pitcher was that got the loss? Was
Matt Bush.
Was Matt Bush, who was a former number one pick, is a shortstop for the Padres. And it was, I mean, kind of amazing to see how he's resurrected his career as a starter, as a reliever in Texas with massive, just amazing fastball. But Toronto is on. Cleveland is up 2-0. And, you know, if you're looking at Toronto and Cleveland, you're looking at pretty much mediocre, you know, underachievers for the last 25 years. And one of them is going to make the World Series, which I think will be the first time since 97 that either of those teams will be there.
Well, that's certainly true. And I don't know really if, to your point, that the Blue Jays, look, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. I was more talking about Matt Bush. You know why he is where he is, right? I mean,
yeah,
I understand 5 years
of five years of drugs and alcohol for the most part.
Well, and prison.
In prison.
Yeah, so, I mean, Matt Bush hit a guy with a car. It's not like this is like some redemption story where he all of a sudden had a bad injury and he came back as a pitcher. I mean, I understand you give people second chances. I understand the fact that he has done well with this second chance. But let's not remember why he blew his first chance. And I think that needs to be said, is that he destroyed his own career. So to come back, yes, it's very impressive to come back after being a shortstop. Look, Matt Bush did this to himself. And
no disputing it.
And he ruined a man's life. I mean, the man was hit by a drunk. He was drunk driving. He hit an elderly man crossing the street in Tampa after going out on a bender at 3 a.m. So, yeah, praise to the fact that he has come all the way back. But I have a hard time praising the man in general for making this resurrection of a career. I mean, it's very difficult for me to look at that guy and cheer for him. And I say the same thing for Jose Reyes. I say the same thing for lots of guys that have hurt other people. You want to hurt yourself. You want to go down a bad path. Steve Howe, et cetera. Dwight Gooden, Daryl Strawberry. I don't have a problem with that. I'll root for you to come back. You've hurt yourself. You probably hurt your family, but you haven't physically hurt anybody. These guys that hurt people, I mean, physically hurt people, they have a hard time going and watching TV. And I know our esteemed colleague, Nabate Isles, posted something on Facebook about Matt Bush. And I know you responded as well. I just have a hard time rooting for a guy like that.
Yeah, no, no real response. I mean, there's certainly, it's not, you said, it's not a rootable story in that regard. And redemption may not be the right way to put it, but it is pretty amazing. I think amazing, not really in a positive, not specifically in a positive connotation, but just as amazing that a guy who was in jail and was out for the better part of 5 years resurrected his career in a completely different position, which I kind of find amazing. That's kind of where I was going with it, nothing more.
I'll take you with that. If you want to call in, 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846. We would ask that if you do call in, you be respectful of the host and the topics in which we're discussing, and no rude commentary like we had 2 weeks ago. Really, that's Bush League. I mean, at the end of the day, that's all it is. Speaking of Bush League, look, we don't talk a lot about politics on the show, and
Seth, did you watch the debate last night? Because I couldn't even care less. I mean, really, I turned it off. I watched probably – I didn't even turn it on. Turned off the TV, put on my laptop, watched a little bit of the Giants game, and went to sleep. There was no real reason to watch that train wreck of a program again.
I did, but you also know me. I follow politics pretty hard, so I couldn't really turn it off. But I shouldn't say that. I turned it off after about 40 minutes because – it was disgusting. You really want to discuss it? it was horrible.
Yes, I actually do, because, you know, we don't discuss it much on this show. We don't discuss really any politics on this show. But at the end of the day, it's important to our population. It's important that the way that what you watch is important, and I'll tell you why it actually has some bearing on our discussion, is that the NFL ratings are remarkably down, and probably due to the debate, which is taking up how much time off the shows. So
this happened apparently in 2000 also, during the Gore-Bush election, which was obviously extremely close, and it was also before the real renaissance of the NFL. But yeah, it's been getting hit hard. Also, I mean, I'm sure there's also a lot of other there may be some other variables as well. You know, Tom Brady's been out for 4 weeks. Manning retired, so your star players have not been there. The game has not been as well played, which I don't think really impacts it. It has taken a huge hit for the first time that I can really recall in recent memory. It's taken a hard hit. I think it's down about 7% this year. But you know, we'll see what happens after the election next month, which I think everyone is looking forward to being over. And you know, we'll see if the downside continues. If it does, then it may become more worrisome.
Agreed. Okay, so. For the people that did not watch the debate and went and watched Giants game, along with the rest of the NFL yesterday, a couple of close games, not really all that much, but a whole lot of mediocrity outside of New England in the NFL this year. I mean, you have your Minnesota team who really ran it up on Houston. They're going into the bye 5-0, which nobody thought that they would be there, especially without Adrian Peterson and now Teddy Bridgewater. But aside from that, there's a lot of mediocrity going on. I'd even include Oakland, who should have lost that game. And then you have San Diego, who seems to not be able to close it down. One thing or another, that team cannot win in the fourth quarter.
No, they've been – I think they're 1-4, and they've been winning in 4 of the 5 games in the fourth. And you know, losing yesterday partially on a bad punt, and also because that punter – dropped a potential game-winning field goal hold from about 35 yards. They've been extremely competitive. Philip Rivers, I think, has actually passed someone for top 10 yardage of all time. You know, a guy who's just been continuously, you know, just had bad luck after bad luck. And you know, but this is a team that could be competing, and they're 1-4, and it's gonna cost Mike McCoy his job before long.
Yeah, and it may cost them their team.
Well, they're on their way out anyway.
On their way out?
Yes.
Really?
I don't think they should be, I'll be honest with you. It's, to me, I think the tax that would be added to keep San Diego, to keep the Chargers in San Diego, is, I think, a 4% hotel tax. I have no idea why that would be an issue, because considering most of the citizens aren't actually going to pay a hotel tax, and it's not a big enough negative where it would preclude people from visiting, in my mind. So I'm not sure why this is still a big deal, but it seems to be. And, you know, this season is certainly not going to be helpful in that regard.
Agreed. Agreed. The reason why people are saying no to this tax is that they're saying if you're going to charge another 4% on a hotel tax, don't spend it on the Chargers. Spend it on local schools. Spend it on different things. Look, there's only so many tax dollars that can go around. And then you have the Raiders who are putting together a 4-1 season, who are looking at Las Vegas as a move, and they're putting together – this is the first time they're 4-1, I believe, since their Super Bowl year.
And Derek Carr has probably been the best quarterback outside of Atlanta, Georgia, outside of Atlanta and Minneapolis so far through the season. Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree has been unbelievable. Cooper has been solid. The defense is decent. I don't think they're a great team. I don't think they're a team ready to really proceed anywhere in the playoffs yet. But it's certainly the most positive they've looked since the 2002 or 2003 Super Bowl season. I forget which one it is.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So we have an issue in which the Raiders are looking to move to L.A. The Chargers are maybe looking to the Raiders are moving to Las Vegas. The Chargers are looking to move to L.A. The one issue that I have, Seth, with the Chargers moving to L.A., and if anybody would like to discuss this, 760-283-0846, is they would have no fans. I mean, do you see
which is why it's a short-sighted move. But
it's beyond short-sighted
really
to me.
It's never really stopped anybody before. Let's be serious. So, to me, you're going to Raiderland, and it's not as if you kind of look even when the Cleveland Browns moved to Baltimore, and then magically 2 years later, a Cleveland Browns team, a new franchise came about in Cleveland. But this isn't a new franchise. This has been a team that's been a rival of theirs for many, many years. I can't imagine people are just going to drop and start rooting for Oakland, for the Oakland Chargers. I mean, that's silly. And to think anything to the contrary, I think, is naive. The Raiders are always going to have a fan base no matter what. And whether it's Vegas or Oakland or wherever. And the team... The fans, even the fans that will learn to resent Oakland for leaving, are not going to suddenly go, "Oh, I'm going to become a Chargers fan." That's just not going to happen. You'd see them go in a completely different direction, or like the St. Louis Rams fans kind of seem to fade away from football as a whole. There's an article about that, I think in Sports Illustrated a few weeks ago. So, to me, it's a stupid situation that Spanos got into, and I don't see a way. I don't really see a good way out.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And so let me ask you, you have the Raiders looking at Las Vegas, and now you have Ronnie Lott, who I believe has a hold on that development project for a little bit while he's trying to negotiate with the city. Are the Raiders for real? Because I'll tell you, when you give up 34 points a week, I'm not sure you're very real. I think you may be a paper champ right now.
Well, that's what I said. I think they're real in regards to making the playoffs, but I think both of us picked them to make the playoffs. So I don't think that's a shock. I don't think, or maybe you picked them, and maybe I picked them to go 8-8 or something like that. I don't think they're a playoff team. I mean, I think they're a playoff team. I don't think they're a contender. They're not Pittsburgh, New England. They're not Pittsburgh or New England, who are probably at this point the two best teams in the AFC.
True, and Denver gets taken off that lofty perch yesterday by the Falcons. The Falcons have done everything that they could to establish themselves in the NFC South. Both running backs getting over 100 yards combined rushing and receiving. Tevin Coleman, who has been the bane of our fantasy league existence, having taken away the major run from Devontae Freeman, who some good points yesterday, but the fact is it's a major split down the middle. Julio Jones is one of those wide receivers that doesn't need the ball and doesn't complain. He's the anti-Terrell Owens, and that's exactly what they need down in Atlanta. Are they a real team? Is this a real challenge to the AFC? Because between them, Minnesota, and Dallas, it may be the three most unlikely top seeds in NFL history for a conference.
Well, you're also forgetting probably the most unlikely of all of them, the Philadelphia Eagles at 4-1 or 3-1. I won't go that far. Atlanta's proven. You know, Atlanta started off 5-0 last year, and ended up 8-8. And you know, Vic Beasley had 3.5 sacks last night or yesterday. Only has had 4 in his first year and a half. So let's see how it plays out. You know, but they've beaten some good teams. Carolina is a complete disaster. So Atlanta is now the favorite in the NFC South. Matt Ryan's probably the favorite for the MVP through a quarter of the season. You know, as you said, it's an extraordinarily well-rounded offense between Coleman, Devontae Freeman, Julio Jones, and Mohamed Sanu comes back. Let's see how it plays out.
Well, there's one other question that's going on in the NFC right now, and that's with the return of Tony Romo imminent in the next week or 2 weeks, Dak Prescott is 4-1, second highest QBR, which is a ridiculous statistic, but it is a statistic that is utilized in the NFL. Ezekiel Elliott is leading the league in rushing. Seems like they're on all cylinders. Does Tony Romo really come back and just take his job? Does that happen?
I think so. I'm not saying it should. But Jason Garrett's... You know, Jason Garrett is going to be in a relatively enviable position with two teams, a team with two competent starting quarterbacks. And I think usually, as I said, usually the unwritten rule is the starter comes back. He just does. And whether he should or not, Prescott's been phenomenal. There's no question about that. And we talked about Prescott on the show, God, over a year ago when Mississippi State was probably number one in the country. In October of last year, and then the team fell apart. He got a DWI and dropped to the fourth round. He's going to be a solid starting quarterback. Look, the NFC East, the three young quarterbacks, Cousins has looked better in the last couple of weeks. You know, Wentz has been fantastic, and Prescott has been great. And the worst by far has been Eli Manning, which, as a Giants fan, is not really surprising.
Well, here's my question to you, Seth, and I've said this to you, asked you this question a bunch of times. You have two Super Bowls. Would you trade two Super Bowls for 15 years of playoffs, no mediocrity, no last places, but yet you wouldn't have a Super Bowl? Because that's what it looks like you're getting into.
Yeah. No, I'll take my 2 years, my two Super Bowls. Thank you.
Yeah.
As I said, I have no complaints.
From a Jets fan that's never seen a Super Bowl, I'd take him too.
But you start to wonder, you know, this is a team that has a lot of talent on the offensive end, and if Eli can only get them 9 points in the first 57 minutes against a team missing their secondary with the receivers that they have, that's on him. And I'm not going to say I watched the whole game, I didn't. But there is no reason they should have had 9 points with 3 minutes to go. Absolutely not. And he's not looked good. And, you know, we always used to joke there was always one pass per game that made you just cringe. Well, it seems to be more than one pass at this point. And for a team that is, you know, trying, that was the favorite, although I did not pick them, was the favorite to win the division this year. That's not going to get the job done.
So, for the most unheralded team in the National Football League, 5-0 and going into their bye week, what can you say about the Vikings? The one thing that I could say is that their offensive and defensive line has been very good, even despite injuries. Matt Khalil was out. Andre Smith is now out. Their offensive and defensive lines have played incredibly well. And to me, that's the hallmark of what you need in the NFL. And it's not to me. It's to most pundits. And I think when you look at the
Are you a pundit?
I like to think I'm a pundit. It's one of those things that I am finding that is lacking in both the Jets and the Giants. is offensive and defensive. Look, JPP played very well last night, at least in the first half. Olivia Vernon played very well. But the interior, Damian Harrison is not playing well. Jonathan Hankins had a massive offsides last night in the wrong time. And not to say that one play really defines a game. But the lines, both offensive and defensive, both on the Jets and the Giants, are just not getting it done. And for teams that were built around pass rush, they're just not getting to the quarterback. And you're seeing that in Minnesota. You're seeing that even I understand you're calling basically for a wait and see on Atlanta, but for yesterday and for the first 5 weeks, they are getting to the quarterback. It may not happen throughout the rest of the year, but certainly in the first 5 weeks, that's the blueprint, right? I mean, you got the best offensive and defensive lines and they both play well. That's the blueprint to winning in the NFL.
It is. But the expectation, you know, Atlanta, I don't know if I'd go that far with Atlanta, but you know, that's how the Giants won their two Super Bowls led by the offensive line. That is how the Jets were competitive for so many years with a great defensive line, and you know, the best. So there's no question about that. I mean, to me, when I look at Minnesota, you know, you look at that defense. Nobody knows any of these guys, which is what's so interesting. You know, in Carolina, you knew Thomas Davis, and you knew Kuechly, and you learned about Josh Norman. Most people cannot name one. I mean, when the first name that comes to the mind on the Minnesota defense is John Randall, and the second is Chris Dolman, you know, you're kind of aging yourself. I mean, Xavier Rhodes is a stud. Harrison Smith's been a very good player for years, but nobody expected this defense. You know, and to me, that Mike Zimmer is the easy choice as coach of the year so far. You can say Belichick, but, you know, Belichick 3-1 without Gronkowski, without Brady. And you can say Jason Garrett or Doug Peterson. You know, this Minnesota team without their best running back, without their best offensive lineman, without their starting quarterback is 5-0. And a relatively dominant 5-0 at that is a testament to Mike Zimmer and his coaching staff. And it makes you wonder why he didn't get a job earlier.
Absolutely. Mike Zimmer at the quarter pole is by far the coach of the year in the NFL. MVP, you said, was Matt Ryan. I have no question about that. I think Ezekiel Elliott's probably the unanimous offensive rookie of the year. As far as the defensive rookie of the year,
I wouldn't go there. I wouldn't.
Really?
No.
You wouldn't say Ezekiel
Elliott? I could run for 100 yards behind that offensive line every game. I'd probably go with Carson Wentz because I think that team really has not had much talent. Wentz threw his first interception on a Hail Mary on the last play of the game last week. He's really good. He's a solid fundamental player.
But to me, Carson Wentz has a blueprint. Look, we just talked about offensive and defensive lines being the hallmark of a good offense and defense in the NFL. The Eagles could be the top offensive line in the NFL right now. They could be. They certainly have the best left tackle in the NFL in Jason Peters. So, I mean, I understand your point in which the Cowboys have a great offensive line. Let's remember, though, Tyron Smith did not play for two of those games, who is their best offensive lineman. Elliott is running away with the rushing title. And if you watched yesterday's game, I'm not sure if you did, Elliott did things that 60-yard run that he had at the end of the first half was dominant, a dominant run.
It was a solid run.
I understand Carson Wentz. What's that?
I said I saw it.
Yeah.
It was a great run.
To me,
he's a hell of a player. I'm not taking anything away from him. And I'm sure that's probably 99% of people's choice. Again, you know, especially with you know, being led by a rookie quarterback. I just think it's an easier position to be in. You know, when I look at the Eagles team, and God knows I hate the Eagles more than I detest the Skins, this does not give me any great joy. I see very little talent on the Eagles offensively. Now, Jordan Matthews is a decent wide receiver. Ryan Matthews, Ryan Matthews is an average running back. You know, they may have a good defensive line, but their offensive line is certainly nothing special. Their offense in general is nothing special. You said they have Peters, but it's not a great offense by any stretch. Peterson's done a heck of a job with Wentz in a small, short period of time. We'll see how it plays out. Again, we're four games into a season, so there's a long way to go.
Absolutely agree with that. Speaking of a long way into the season, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights were a long way into giving up the amount of points for a whole season in one half to Michigan. Could there have been – look, we talk about this all the time where we say that Maryland made a financial move into the Big Ten, and you agree with that. I mean, that is the reason they moved into the Big Ten, was finance. And you can state that Rutgers probably made the same type of move. They wanted money. They wanted exposure. They didn't want this exposure. This is just on a different level. This is worse than Northwestern. I mean, this is awful. This is 2 years in a row that they've – 2 weeks in a row, I'm sorry, that they've been blank like this. Yes, they beat Michigan, I believe it was last year or the year before. But – man, 70 to nothing? Do you realize that it was 100 years ago yesterday that Johnny Heisman ran up a 200-point score on some team? And
oh, on
Cumberland,
222 to nothing.
Yeah, if Michigan didn't take the throttle off, if Harbaugh didn't take the throttle off, I think it could have approached at least half of that.
Well, if that happens, then Ruth Chris would actually be paying people to eat their steaks.
No. There was a cap at 50%, which he actually did 5 minutes before it went to print, which is awesome.
I thought actually they accepted the 78% for one day, but as a Maryland fan, it actually does me well, because we recruit the Northeast, and Maryland recruits New Jersey quite a bit. So I have it hurts a little bit, because you probably never want to see anyone really embarrassed like that. Number two, I am a Jersey boy once and again. So I would prefer them, the Rutgers at least be representative. And Rutgers actually beat Maryland last year, coming back from 24 down, I think. But, yeah, that was really ugly. There's just no other way to put it. That was horrendous. But, Rutgers apparently had 50 recruits at the game, which is even worse.
Well, maybe 49 of them said no thank you afterwards. But the fact is, we talk all the time about the Big Ten and how – and we talked about it, look, in our preview. I'm one that can say at least at the midpoint – well, it's a little bit less than the midpoint right now. I'm ready to eat crow. Because I certainly didn't think that they would have one. I didn't think they'd have one team in the playoffs. They may be the conference with two teams, because They have four teams in the top 10, I believe.
No, I don't know who the fourth would be. And Wisconsin is just not that good. Wisconsin will fall back, and this is going to kind of go back to the same old Ohio State versus Michigan. Michigan State had a terrible, I believe, lost pretty badly to BYU. I don't see that happening. I don't see it in any conference this year. You look around, the Big 12 is a disaster. Houston's loss kind of knocks them out of it, which is, I'll be honest, pretty disappointing. I'd have liked to see them make a run. The ACC, Clemson hasn't lost. Florida State's out. Louisville is still in the running a little bit. Especially considering the way they lost to Clemson, the Pac-10 only has one team that's pretty much viable, and that's Washington. I think you have enough teams around that where I don't think you're going to look at two teams in the conference. I think it would raise holy hell unless the teams are 11-0 and just overly dominant, which they have been so far. But let's see what happens as the season goes on. Way too
early. Seth, I hate to correct you. I hate to correct you. In the AP Top 25, which
you do not, first of all, you do not hate to correct me. You love correcting.
No, I actually do. I do not like correcting somebody on air. I do like correcting you, period, but not on air. So
okay.
Number 2, Ohio State. Number 4, Michigan. Number 8, Wisconsin. And number 10, Nebraska. 4 teams in the top 10 from the Big Ten.
I wouldn't have thought of Nebraska that high. And Nebraska and Wisconsin will be playing. Nebraska, I believe, will be playing Wisconsin soon. One of them will knock each other out. Michigan State falls back. It's still an Ohio State Michigan conference right now. Michigan State's not really in the running, and everyone else is a couple steps behind.
So Nebraska plays at Wisconsin on the 29th, and then at Ohio State on the 29th of October, then at Ohio State on November 5th. Following that, they play Minnesota, Maryland, both at home, and then Iowa at Iowa to wrap up the season. So they have a pretty hard 2-game stretch with Wisconsin and Ohio State. If you're looking at Wisconsin's schedule, which was the other one that we were just talking about, Wisconsin's football schedule, the hard games are this week. They play at home against Ohio State on the 15th. Then they play at Iowa. And they do not, if they can get past Ohio State at home and Iowa away, I guess, they could run it. I mean, they have Nebraska at home. They have Northwestern away, Illinois at home, Purdue away, and Minnesota at home. Not hard.
But Wisconsin, there's nothing to run. They lost last week to Michigan.
Right, but I'm saying they can make it all the way into the Big Ten finals with one loss.
Yes. If they beat Ohio State, which is
correct,
a whole other set of. You know, I think most people think Ohio State is the best team. Would beat the, I shouldn't say that, but they wouldn't beat the Bengals, but they sure as heck may beat the Browns. So let's hold off on that a little bit, and let's see what happens.
Okay, fair enough. And you know, this week we'll say a lot in the top 25. I mean, I'm going to get the schedule right now. I do know that there are tremendous games this week. If you're looking, 1 second, I'm going to get it. Week 6. Are we in week 6 or week 7? I believe we're in week 6. Nope, week 7. Let's get to week 7. So top 25 for week 7. Like we said, we have Ohio State and Wisconsin going on in two top 10 teams. Excuse me. We have Alabama and Tennessee, which should be a very, very interesting game. Miami, who's coming off a loss against Florida State, goes to play North Carolina, which is a 4-2 versus a 4-1. And then you have Ole Miss against Arkansas, 13 against 22. It was very weird. I don't know about you. It was very weird to see Miami, and it's still, well, Florida State beat them, so Florida State goes 14 and Miami was 16. It was very weird to see Miami as a higher-ranked team than Florida State.
Yeah,
I don't know about you, it was just very weird to me.
No, it makes sense. They haven't really been relevant. Maybe not relevant may not be the right word, but they've certainly not been a top-tier team for a long time. Pretty much since the running of the 30 for 30 U part 2. So Mark Richt has come in, you know, apparently just changed the attitude. Although it's funny, I didn't think he would be a good fit. You know, even knowing he is a Maryland alum, a Miami alum. But, you know, it seems to be working. And, you know, Brad Kaye is a first-round draft pick as a QB. And there's a lot, you know, there's some positives on the horizon for that team.
We did ask a question on our website today, and I'll ask you that same question. If you had to give up one sport, now you're not a hockey fan, you're not a baseball fan, so to the degree that they are all equal.
So you have college football, you have college basketball, and you have pro football. Those are your three, I would say, top sports. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say those three. It's a two-part question. If you'd like to call in, 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846. If you had to give up one of those three, which one would it be? And then if your wife had to have you give up one of those three, which one would that be?
The wife one is easy. The wife one is I'd be giving up pro football. Simply because that means she would never have to listen to anything about fantasy football ever again. And she knows how diehard of a Giants fan I am. I assume you have a Maryland fan I am. So she'd be much more apt for me to give up pro football.
Okay.
For me, it's an interesting call, and here's why. Part of it plays into my job, into my actual career, because my busiest time of the year is February, March, which is college basketball, which is obviously the cream of college basketball season. I'd give up the NFL. And no, not because of my
life. I was like, there's no way you're giving up college basketball. Like, you could try talking yourself into it 1,000 times over. And I'm like, he's going down a path where he's just going to pull a 180. I know it.
Well, you know me well, my friend. Simply because I think the quality of the game, we've talked about this, has diminished greatly over the last several years. I don't enjoy it as much as I used to. The fantasy, I mean, I still enjoy it, don't get me wrong. And the fantasy aspect is more fun from an opportunity to, well, let's be honest, be able to talk crap to my friends. And, you know, it gives me an opportunity at, you know, in my old age and now in fatherhood where I get to hang out with people that I probably wouldn't have as much time to do it. I like it more for the social aspect than for watching a 16-13 Jets game, which, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they're terrible. The Giants aren't much better. So, you know, it's not like I'm sitting here, you know, at the edge of my seat looking forward to that Giants game if they're 6-9 week 16. You know, Maryland, I assume, again, that they're going to be a tournament stalwart going forward. You know, occasionally have some really, really good years, occasionally some lesser years. And college football, to me, is just the most fun sport to watch. So I think I'd be giving up pro football. But if my wife is listening, this is not a discussion point. You don't have me whipped that badly. No, you do, probably, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're going to ask me the same question, and I don't have a wife, so I don't have to worry about that part.
Well, wait, let me see if I can guess the three sports, though. I'm assuming they're baseball, football, and hockey.
You could go more sports with me because quite frankly, I'm a bigger sports fan in a multitude of sports than you are. I have more variety.
I also have tennis and boxing and MMA, but I get your point.
Right, and I'll tell you where the precipice for this question came up was actually on a date. So somebody who shall remain nameless, who the person was, we were at a bar, and she asked me if I was a sports fan 2 hours into the date because I was trying to avoid – look, when I date, I try and avoid sports at all costs because I really don't need somebody to know how much of a fan I am. Which is short for fanatic. Let's understand. The word fan is short for fanatic. So the Monday Night Football game is going on actually in back of her. And I am taking all of my energy not to look at that game. It was week 2. I really didn't care about the game. The Jets weren't playing. And she was about 2 hours into the date. She goes, so do you like sports? A little taken aback, I was like, yes, actually, I do like sports. In fact, it is taking all the energy that I have tonight to focus on you because you are the focus of this night, not the game in back of you. And I am paying attention to you. I don't even know what the score is of the game in back. And then she asked me, "Are you what team do you root for?"
I said, I'm a Jets fan. And her response was, if the Jets were playing in Baton Rouge, if the Jets were playing in Baton Rouge, would you be able to stand talking to me and not watching the Jet game? And my response, quite frankly, probably not the best response I could have had, but tried to make it a little bit of a joke. I have learned that that's not a good idea. I said to her, you're cute, Toots, but you're not that cute. Probably the wrong move, but it opened up this conversation where she asked me what sports do I enjoy, and I told her I enjoy probably baseball, college basketball, NFL, and hockey. Baseball, yeah, the four sports. Probably more than, say, college football and pro basketball. Yeah, I mean, those would be the ones that I would immediately X out, in tennis and boxing and MMA and all those. And she asked me, if I had to give up one, which one would I give it up? Which one would I give up? And by give up, she said to me, you would not be able to watch a game the whole season. Not one. And I have to tell you, it was very hard. And it still remains very hard. I don't know. So it's between Syracuse basketball, which I'm not giving up.
No.
And Seth, you know I'm not giving that up. There's no chance am I giving that up. So it comes down to, am I giving up the Jets? Am I giving up the Islanders? Or am I giving up the Mets?
Okay.
I
think I know where you would go with this.
All right, let's see how well you know me.
I don't think under any circumstances you could give up the Mets. I don't. I think if it came down to this, because it's a team that's perpetually disappointed you, and I think it's a team that you're a little bit tired of, I think you'd give up the Jets. Also because of the number of games would be lessened, so you'd only be missing 16 days as opposed to 162 or 82. So between those two, I think.
You are spot on. Now, she gave me a different question than I gave you, because she didn't say you have to give up the whole sport. She said you just have to give up the team so I could still play fantasy football.
Okay, well, that would make it easy.
Which would make it easy. Now, if I had to give up the sport, which one do you think I would?
I don't think you could give up fantasy football. I don't. You're in like 37 leagues. So I'm gonna go with hockey, but I really don't know the answer to that.
All right. So here's the thing. I'm only in three leagues this year, just so you know. That's it. Three. The one with you, the one that I've been in for 21 years, and one other one. So I've only been one through work. So there's only three leagues. Wait, is there only three? I got, three leagues. One in NFL.com and two through ESPN. So three leagues. I think I would give up football. I really do. You're right. I don't see myself giving up the Mets because the summer would just be awful giving up baseball for me. Maybe not for you, but for me. The personal attachment that I have to hockey would be very hard for me to give up. Between my brothers and my grandfather and the history that I have with the Islanders, it would be very difficult to give up the sport of hockey, even though it is probably the sport I watch the least of any of them. Giving up football would be incredibly hard. But I think if I had to make a sacrifice, it is where I would make it. And it would just be an awful fall. I don't know where I'd go on Sundays, but I'd have to go somewhere where there wasn't TV reception. It would
women who are looking for a date to take them to the ballet on a Sunday afternoon. We have finally found a straight man to do this. We have finally found one. Call 760-283-0846.
Look, I know. Look, if you want to call in, and wait. No, we don't have a caller. I thought we did. If you'd like to call in and discuss this, 760-283-0846. And you're right, Seth. It would be very difficult for me to do, but I think if I had to pick, that would be the sport. And I'll tell you, that would be a very difficult month of September and October. Because
I'll
if the Mets are out of
I respectfully disagree with you. I think you're wrong. I think you would give up hockey.
I think I'm wrong.
I think you're wrong. I don't, you know, your livelihood in a lot of ways revolves around fantasy football in September and October and November. I know the kinship you have with your brothers, you know, on a daily, depending on the day, is a lot of it based on this. And, you know, sorry, Jay, sorry, Mitch, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, and your grandfather, you know, is based on something which, as terrible as it sounds, you know, your grandfather is deceased. And I'm not trying to make light of that in any capacity. But,
No.
You know, I think you. I understand why you would think that, but I think you're wrong. So hopefully it's never really going to come to that. So.
Well, to those women that are out there, do not believe that it will ever come to this, where this decision will be made, where I have to give something up like this. Because I think Seth and I have both proved something. You can be a sports fanatic, which we are, but there are sacrifices to be made at times, that means sports just aren't important. They're just not. Look, he didn't watch the Giants game last night. I mean, for Seth not to watch a Giants game is kind of important. I mean, impressive to me. I thought he would definitely be watching that. I didn't watch the Giants game last night except for the first quarter. And I tried not to watch the Jets game yesterday up until the third minute at 1:03. And then I turned it off.
good to see that worked well for you.
Right, exactly. But I tried. There was an effort to be made. But it's an interesting question to ask. And I think it says a lot about both you and I as to how much pride we take in our schools, more than anything else. Because the concept of giving up collegiate sports to you and I was off the table even to start. It wasn't even an option.
Nope.
And, I mean, to take off college basketball for me would have been basically taking the blood out of my veins. And I think it's the same thing for you, even in spite of that being in your busiest season.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of – well, first of all, if you didn't have Syracuse basketball, I think you would have jumped out the window years ago. Because let's be honest here. Let's look at the last 25 years of your teams.
I understand.
Yeah, I mean, you've got nothing. So, I mean, you know, luckily, it is what it is. You know, luckily, I've been a little bit more fortunate. But, you know, you're grinning. You traveled with Syracuse basketball for 5, 6, 7 years. That was not his undergrad degree. It did not take him 6 years to finish his BA. But I am first and foremost a Maryland fan. There is nothing else. There is no discussion. You know, there's no point in discussing it. And you know, anyone who knows me knows that. You know, after that, you know, then probably the Giants and you know whatever U.S. soccer, wherever my you know I guess the Yankees, but it is not Maryland. It's just not.
Yeah.
So.
It's interesting when I have colleagues that have kids that go to schools and I ask them, I have one colleague whose son went to Virginia Tech this year, not really a sports fan. And I said to her, I said, are you getting tickets to your son for the games? And she said, no, he's not really a sports fan. I said, you know what? Get him for year one and see if he falls in love with it. Because look, for those that have gone to a big school such as Maryland or Syracuse or Ohio State or Wisconsin, and many of our listeners have gone to those schools and many, many more, including Michigan. Man, between you and I think we have 50% of the Michigan alumni on our Facebook friends. But the fact is,
you become a fan. You don't even have to like the sport. You still, because you take pride in your school. And I think that, if there's a college experience to have, I think it's definitely that. So we got 4.5 minutes left. If you'd like to go first, I'll wait till the end. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to give a shout out to someone who's retired on Saturday night. Probably the greatest MMA fighter of all time. Dan Henderson went out fighting for the middleweight title, lost a somewhat disputed decision to Michael Bisping. The man who's fought everyone from the greatest heavyweight of all time and beat him, you know, to a guy who's weighing 170. You know, he is a monster. And to fight for a championship and pretty much very extremely close to winning at age 44 is pretty amazing. And, you know, a class act, you know, real, true tough guy. And in a sport where I think the popularity has, you know, climaxed and is on its way downhill because there's so few people to root for. But another one, you know, kind of goes to the graveyard in that regard. And so, you know, to Dan Henderson, it's you know, who's actually my favorite fighter of all time. You know, it's been a pleasure to watch. So that's all I got for
you. Wow, it's not Bernard Hopkins?
Bug sport, dude. MMA. Not boxing.
No, I understood. You just said fighter, so I
group. Yeah. No, I understand.
I group.
No, I'm not a big Hopkins fan, so.
So, we announced the retirement and talked a lot about sports broadcasters, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, when we discussed Vin Scully. What I didn't recall at the time, or didn't want to recall, or didn't think about at the time, is there was another retirement of a broadcaster who Seth and I grew up with, and many of you grew up with as well, the same week.
Mm-hmm.
That's Dick Enberg. And Dick Enberg, to me, growing up on NBC, on CBS, he did a lot on NBC, he did a lot of golf. And, look, I grew up hating golf. I can't play it. I don't understand it. But as I grew up, I spent a lot of time at a golf club. My grandfather was a member of a golf club. We went there very often to have breakfast, to have lunch. My brother played golf, my younger brother. I played tennis. Yes, we were those guys. But the fact is, I spent a lot of time watching golf because of that. Because when you're in a golf club on a Sunday afternoon and the U.S. Open is on, you can't just change the channel to the Jets. That doesn't work. Sorry, not the U.S. Open. That's the wrong sport. That's the wrong season. Let's say the Mets. You can't just change it to the Mets. You have to watch golf. And you learn about golf. And Dick Enberg doing golf and Dick Enberg doing the baseball game of the week, phenomenal stuff, will be sorely missed. He ended his career with the Padres, and him and Jerry Coleman, who was another guy that there's a statue outside of San Diego, outside of Petco, will be sorely missed in the annals of baseball. So with Vin Scully retiring and Dick Enberg retiring, Southern California, man, it's going to be hard to listen to games without those familiar voices in tow. So just to go down the wrap-up, next week we'll have our NHL preview. Hopefully we will have some guest. It might even be my brother. I don't even know. We'll see. Loyal diehard, I understand. The week after, we will be having our NBA preview, followed by our NCAA basketball preview, which, as we know, Seth and I are both not giving up under any circumstances. So Carly or my future wife, not happening. For Seth Kamens, this has been Sean Palmer, backsportspage.com, Blog Talk Radio, Seth and Sean Sports Radio. Happy New Year to all. Repent tomorrow night, and we'll come back at a fresh slate. Thanks so much for joining. Have a good night, everybody.
See you.